West, West, y'all.
1964, the Righteous Brothers recorded You've Lost That Loving Feeling. Single went to number 5 of the 1965 Billboard Top 100 chart. It's also in that memorable scene in Top Gun, where Goose and Maverick enter into the bar. Maverick calls it a target-rich environment. It's the first time he actually meets Iceman as well. And we see Goose play a role in epitomized being a wingman, as in literally in his role and in the bar. So he puts a wager to Tom Cruise, to Maverick, puts a $20 wager that he can't pull in the bar. And Maverick looks at him and goes, "Oh, man, I feel sorry for you." He goes, "Why?" He goes, "Man, you can tell she's lost that loving feeling." And straight away, Goose knows, "Oh, shit, there's wingman time." He's like, "Man, I hate it when she does that." Maverick goes on, starts singing this awkward song like karaoke, starting up the song, knowing that the wingman job is to step up and start singing the song. He's got no chance at this girl, but he just has to step up as a wingman and hold that mic while Tom Cruise, you know, sings the verse and gets the girl. And Goose just hides off in the background. The thing I wanted to talk about in the song is that the opening line says, "You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips." However, the only way that he knows that is if he's opened his eyes first.
Here's Olam. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this! Justin Olam!
Welcome back to another episode of the 135 podcast. I'm welcomed by two special guests, and man, exciting. Three more games until we hit the grand final. Firstly, we'll go to a guy we'll let you know his secret identity at the end of the show. But welcome, Bob Savalier, avid Warriors fan. How's it going, also?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, Tess.
Nice, Wilso. And going over the ditch, bringing back in the Wilso, Simon Amani, columnist from the Wes Network. How's it going, bro?
Good, Wilso. Good. Yeah, bro, that was an interesting new interlude you got there. Just started off. It got me, halfway, I kind of started dreaming about, like, why did Goose have to go? Like, he was the man behind the fucking... He was the smarts.
He's the man, like, behind the man.
Maverick was the fucking fierce show. Like, hey, he was the Mimika guy, putting everyone at risk. But that's life, they say, hey, you know what I mean? Heroes, they all wear capes.
Hey, talking about heroes, man, liked your last write-up, bro. We'll touch on some of the points you made there, but nice little article there, bro.
Thanks, Uso. I wanted to give... praise to the Warriors. It's something that I found very hard to do all my life, especially being avid Broncos supporters who turned up to numerous games against the Warriors at Mount Smart, where I've been abused from all sorts of people there. But hey, you got to give props. I've got far more on my face. I said they wouldn't make the 8, but here they are, bro. The last four teams still alive, so... I'm always the first to put up my hand up. So I made an error. I don't really see that, especially in the first or even halfway, bro. I saw them battling, but I didn't see the Warriors we're seeing now, bro. Which, you know, flying high on confidence and playing some mean footy. So it's been good, bro. Good to watch, man. I think it's good for I don't know what the vibe over there, Bobby, is. But what do you think? Is New Zealand taking notice, or everyone watching the All Blacks, or what?
No, I think that's probably the biggest thing with the Warriors at the moment is they're making a massive impact on the sporting landscape here in New Zealand whilst there's a Rugby World Cup on. So, you know, is New Zealand falling out of love with the ABs, with these losses and mediocre
results? Especially when they're playing Gaia at the moment, man.
Well, you know... First pool loss after 9 tournament sets.
Yes, yeah, two bad losses. So,
that Warriors sort of stuff. In. Yeah, they sure are. And, you know, it's about time that rugby league has its day here in New Zealand. You know, it's been such a secondary, maybe not even secondary sport for the country against rugby union. You know, it's always been the lesser of the overall.
What do you think of that? There was, and it was a good point. I think I heard an interview here about whether that game could have been taken to Eden Park and have even more people. Because I reckon you guys could have sold out Eden Park, man, with the level of interest that generated. I don't think they got the best record there, eh? But I guess it's a bit of a sacred home ground for you guys there at Mount Smart.
And that's the thing. Mount Smart's the place where the Warriors, you know, they've earned the right to play in front of their home fans at their home ground. So, you know, the cool thing about that Eden Park thing was that Eden Park had opened themselves up to view the game. Like, they had tickets to, because they must have thought that they were a 50-50 chance of hosting the Warriors, because they had all their food trucks and that all ready to go, probably already paid for. Even though the game was on at Mount Smart, they had opened up Eden Park with a big screen, and if you couldn't get tickets to the game, you could go watch it at Eden Park, and you could get food and all sorts of things, and they had big family vibe, carnival type vibe out at Eden Park. I don't know who went to Eden Park, or if anyone was there, if they weren't watching it live at Mount Smart or at home. But yeah, it'd be cool to find out from somebody who was at Eden Park if there was a massive turnout.
Yeah, because that was going to be my go-to if I didn't get tickets.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see the sky tower all lit up afterwards? It was red, green, blue. I was like, whoa.
Oh, was it? Was red, green, blue by the time I was heading home.
Sky City was celebrating the Warriors' victory. It was pretty awesome.
There's a rendition of E Papa on the train home.
Bro, what about the singing, man? That came through on the TV. That was mean, man.
Yeah, I was surprised they picked it all up, because I just
was. It was like a festival kind of atmosphere, eh? Like a sevens.
Yeah, I came home and rewatched the game afterwards, just so that I could see what it was like, because you felt what it was like live, and then it was cool to see it come through the TV as well. So I was like, oh man, like the singing, every decision was getting, you know, reaction from the crowd, which is what you want. And so, yeah, it was really cool to see. Hasn't been a game.
Well, credit to Cameron George, I guess. The fight, because that would have been, you know, up against the NRL, and, you know, Volandi's trying to push for the numbers, you know, ticket sales at Eden Park to get people through there. So I think he would have done a really good job to fight that off, and, you know, fight to keep it there for the Warriors. And, man, we'll get into that game, though, when we touch on it. Before we get ahead of ourselves, man, let's go back to, feels like a while ago, before last Friday. The Storm taking on the Roosters. This game, a long time ago. But your thoughts on this one initially, Bob?
Yeah, the Storm were real lucky to get through that one. But, you know, the Storm's one of those teams that you don't let your guard down against the Storm, because they can pull one like that game out of their ass, and they came from behind and pulled the Roosters' pants down. I mean, you know, refereeing decisions aside, if the Roosters were going to be good enough to beat the Storm, they wouldn't, and that's with any team, you know, they wouldn't have given that opportunity for the game to be in the ref's hands as it was. So, you know, they didn't put enough points on the board to keep the Storm at bay, and then they paid for it in the end with the Storm coming back. So, yeah, It's a difficult one, because, you know, the Storm, as good as the Panthers have been in the last few years, being the champs, you know, the Storm have been there 7, 8, 9 grand finals in the last 20 years. So it's like, you know, don't write off the Storm. They could pull your pants down on any day. So, you know.
But the Storm on that night, I don't know, Si, did you think with 10 minutes to go, a point ahead, do you think the Roosters were going to hold them out? Just the way the Storm
played? I did, bro. I thought that the Roosters, man, I thought these guys were going to turn into, like, coming from, like, having a really bad, poor season to just, to making it the last four, bro. And they were, you know, they were just a try away from doing that. And I think it kind of, it almost come to a head where the game was there for the Roosters because of the style they play. A real dogged kind of defence-orientated team at the moment because their offence has been a bit clunky. And it just so happened that the last two, 3 weeks that the Storm's offence has been quite similar, bro. And then missing Hughes, that was a big out for them. I didn't think Munster was busy, but he wasn't spectacular, man. But the thing with these superstars, bro, that, you know, you can fucking play shit or have a quiet game all game and it just takes one moment and he put that kick on a dime for Warbrick. And, you know, some of the top wingers would score that try, but coming from a guy in his first year, debutant, a young fella, that was an awesome catch from Warbrick, man, and just goes to show, like, it only takes a few moments in the game. Tyron Wishart at 7, that was a big out for them. I had my money on Roosters, to be honest. I thought it was going to be a close, dogged kind of, and it was. It was kind of a messy game, really. Even though Storm come out of it, Victors, I don't think they looked too convincing. I didn't see anything in there. Even with Hughes, if he is coming back, I haven't seen the team list yet. I don't know if there's fucking anything in that team to trouble the Panthers, bro, who are just... Panthers are just ready to go. They showed in that first game against the Warriors, we're there at. They mean business. Roosters, on the other hand, bro, it was kind of a good finish to, you know, where they, you probably give them a pass mark after having, you know, playing like F all year. They'll probably come through and say to themselves, man, missing a few stars, but we still made it to.
Well, yeah, missing stars, like their whole, all those guns in their backline depleted other than Teddy. But I was looking at that end of that game, and yeah, probably 20 minutes out, bro, I was thinking, if the Roosters win this, bro, Lindsay Collins is the man. Because he was doing some stuff in that game, just turning that game. He
scared them.
Bro, I was like, Queenslander, bro. Like, if they win this, that's off the sky, bro.
Yeah. But you know why that's why he won the man of the series win. So ever since Origin, he's been playing like a beast. But as a prop, well,
just that try, just the positions he places, he it turns up.
Yeah, that's right. Bro. If I were Smith, like, you know, as a Kiwi, and probably looking at the artillery we've got, he's probably going to be our 9. I don't know if he's carrying injury or not, but fuck, he seems overweight and a bit slow, man. Like, his passes not sharp from the deck, from the ground. And he's like, he's having a few snipes, but it's just not, doesn't have the acceleration that he used to. I don't know about you guys, bro, but what do you think, bro? Is Brandon Smith just not having the best year?
Reminds me of that season that Isaac Luke came to the Warriors and he had a really shit preseason and he came back looking super fat. And I was like, what's going on, man?
Yeah, but heavy.
Yeah. And it shows because he was really labored.
From injury, same, yeah.
But I don't think
that's the thing. I think the
same sort of year as he was expecting at the Roosters leaving Melbourne. You could tell by the way he's been playing, like that first half of the season with the Roosters, he didn't look as happy as he was at Melbourne.
Nah.
And
then
when he got shot down after that Melbourne game and he was kicking it with his mates and smiling even though they had just got their asses handed to them and the media was all over him. And I was like, didn't look happy at all. And he hasn't been playing as well to reflect it.
But I almost think he plays his best footy as a running forward, man. Like, you look at the years, he had some good years in Melbourne with, Cameron Smith in front of him, and then Harry Grant comes along and he plays in front of him. But that's still, he's still fucking pumped out some good years there as a running forward. And there's someone who can probably substitute there at 9, but in the first full, this is Rooster's big signing this year.
I think it's
his first full year at 9. I don't know if it was, I'll give him a pass mark or not.
I think it's culture fit too. Like, you look at his character and the way the Roosters are, you know, you've got to be a very, like, he is professional, but you've got to kind of carry yourself that same way too. You know, they haven't got time for kind of, you know, the kind of fun, you know, kind of Melbourne carry-on.
I think he's going to be lucky.
Look at Lindsay Collins. He's the ultimate, you know, professionalism as well.
And that's why he fits, you look at the Kiwi players, I don't think there's too many Kiwi nines going around.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. I think he will start. But then you've also got, as much as Crosland was didn't arrive last week, but, you know, he's a Kiwi.
Was he?
Wellington born? Well, really? I don't know if he's declared allegiance or anything, but I think some standouts in that game. Nick Meaney had an awesome game under the high ball. I just think they didn't show me anything more than they showed the Broncos. And they pretty much just went and played that same game and just got past a wounded Roosters team. So,
yeah.
So when they lost Pappenhausen last week, I thought they were kind of, especially without Hughes, I thought they needed a spark in the offense, and they're probably missing someone who could create. Man, I thought it would have been a good idea to bring on Fa'alongo. Like, what are you going to lose? You know, in the short amount of time that he was on against the Broncos, bro, he scored a mean try, had some awesome runs, and by all accounts, he's been ripping up in the Queensland Cup. So he's one good one they got there in their back pocket, but I don't know, Bellamy doesn't want to, you know, blood them too much this year, but
yes, I think Storm's never been a kind of a one kind of person, you know, like
you've
always had your strong spine, but just everyone wants, you know, waiting for that one person, like, oh, Munster's not firing, we need someone else, but
they're gonna need something,
you know, he only fires if the forwards are doing their job, you know, if the locks are doing, but I mean, what King's done, I didn't even know who their 13 was for ages, like, oh, true, that's right, Josh King's there. But, yeah, it's just been a real loss without the Bromwich boys there.
Yeah.
There's a solid link there at 13 as well.
Without, when the Uso's not on the park, Big Nelson, their pack's just been struggling, bro, and their pack can't really match it with the other pack, with the other packs in the competition. Kind of almost like a lopsided, you know, they got star-studded spine, but just don't have, like you said, the loss of basically the half of that Dolphins back come from Melbourne has took a toll. And saying that, bro, look where they are, man. They're still in the last four.
That's what we forget, though, eh? Like, it's I guess because of, the brilliance of the Storm. You look at the Warriors and everyone's up the Warriors.
Yeah.
But they still came behind these guys. These guys jumped in and finished third. Yeah, and everyone was disappointed, like, man, these guys are average and bloody hell, what's up with the Storm?
It just goes to show how successful their fucking
just the standards. Club is. Yeah, just the standards that we're all celebrating the Warriors coming fourth behind these guys, and then you look at them like, oh man, what was the point of this year? It's almost like if these guys aren't going to make the grand final, if they're not going to win, if you're not first or second, what's the point, Storm? Like, you look at that standard of what's expected of these guys just... That's out of it. Like,
there's a reason why they've made nine grand finals.
Yeah.
These guys.
That's
it, man.
Just the standards, eh? Like, I don't know. Just what everyone expects, and like, you just look at them like, oh, yeah, they just struggled through, but man,
it's the Storm. It's the level of expectation, because everyone expects the Storm to do so well every year, regardless of who the opposition is. The standard for them compared to what the Warriors is, it's going to be way high. Yeah. So they're like the All Blacks of rugby league. You know, if they don't smash someone, they should smash by 50 points. And everyone's going to shit on them and think that they're terrible. But, you know.
Yeah, it could be a very good comparison, just the phase they're going through. Like, people just aren't happy enough. Like, oh, look at where you finished. Like, we finished in the top four. We're getting ready to possibly go to a grand final. What's everyone complaining about? So, man, good perspective on the Storm voice. Anything else to add on this game?
No, it's scary to think what the Roosters could have been, Eagles. If one, they may have brought Sam Walker in a bit earlier, with a few more wins under their belt, and two, if fucking Hargroves wasn't an old guy, and he would have made this game.
Do you reckon?
Who knows, bro? There would
all that stuff around Sualii earlier on in the year impacted on this season.
Well, I think
decision wise, like
I think for him, out of the team, maybe because he didn't really start hitting his straps until late in the year. I thought he had a quiet year to start off. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with his performances, but I don't know. It's hard to tell, you know, these kids, whatever goes on off the field, you still got a front on the field, man. But the whole lot of them, Tedesco was poor. Well, I don't know if poor is the right word, but from the heights that he's reached, it wasn't the same. We saw that at Origin, where he didn't have much of an impact. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next year. I still think they'll go with Teddy, but, man, they've got Manu there. They've got the artillery, bro. They should be making the top four pretty easy every year with their roster. So, I don't know, they're going to have a few... like I said, they've done well to get where they've gone to, but they won't like how they performed during the year. And they're another professional team who will make a few changes.
Yeah, the Roosters this year will before definitely we move on, the, all of those losses. They had heaps of close losses.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think Trent Robinson talked about, you know, that whole, you know, why they have the slow starts. Because, like, it's kind of been their trademark. But like I was saying earlier in the pod, like, round five, they usually come right. And it just never clicked this year. But, yeah, it's kind of something that you always watch the Roosters, and that's why you kind of just like, they'll come back. But, yeah, kind of like a game, just figure out why they start slow. Maybe it's just a preseason thing, who knows. But, again, standards, just these guys having a sook about themselves and dropping out of the, you know, the top four now. Good stat, like, out of it, that the stat continues. Those that finish in the top four go on. Like, there hasn't been a team outside of the four to break in since they changed the rules after they didn't want what the Warriors did happen again. before we move on, I don't want to kick Ashley Kine too much, but the Harry Grant drop ball. Your thoughts on that, Si? You happy with that? You happy for the
play?
He's right there.
Yeah, I don't think if that was too obvious, man. I think it was more like a 50-50 because it almost, and this is they slow it right down, right? So they see a little touch of the hand before it hits the ground, but in real time, it could also count as like one of those quick bounce pickup kind of catches. So I'll give him that, bro. That was a 50. Yeah, a half volley catch. Those ones are hard to see in real time, bro. But the fucking biggest, I don't know, maybe for me the biggest error was not giving. Because all year, bro, a Skamati Mozzie bite to the fucking face, they've been pulling that up as head highs.
Yeah, and then there was a swinging arm across the face all day. Bro, so it's like,
you know, don't fucking make bullshit about player welfare and safety. And then it comes, it's the same thing for Origin now. I get half pissed off and I'm half a fan, right? Because I like Origin, like things giving, you know, give, let things go a bit.
Yeah.
When it comes to player safety, where do you draw the line, bro? Like, And just not only that, but consistency of the whole year. In round two of the competition, if you're going to give a penalty for a slap in the face, you got to give it in the prelim final as well, bro. And what about the fucking grand final shit like that happens? So I thought he put his fucking whistle in the pocket for that game. But like I said, what kind of thing for player safety does that mean? And I know it's not a concussion kind of a hit, but it's a whack to the face.
It's what they've been doing all year. And
but I agree.
Kudos to Harry Grant, like getting up. Like he could have just milked that and waited for the bunker to make that call.
Yeah.
No, he tried to.
Like he could have stayed down longer and everything. But
no, he tried to. They weren't.
And he even told the ref, he's like, you're not going to make a call?
Yeah. They showed the ref. So this is my stance, bro. Like, I'm happy that you want to let that go. That's good because it's not a fucking full-on
hard drive.
It's not consistent. A rope off while it's oil out, head high. But it's a Skamati accidental slap to the face. Let that go. That's nothing. But the problem is they've been pulling that shit up for the last 2 years.
Because that's what happened to Morata near Kore, remember? And then you were saying that it was a pretty bad slap on David Fofita. So now you're saying that was okay?
No.
Remember when Morata got marched for that, bro?
That's different. That's different. Oh. That's an assault. That's an assault. Because
I told you, he's just checking if the shave was nice and close enough.
Tackle. You're trying to make a tackle. He's checking
his shave. Nice shave, bro. See?
You're trying to make a tackle, and then you clip him to the face. Flay on.
Changes, mate. Changes.
But Fofita's trying to play the ball, and fucking Neil Corey's giving him an open hand palm to the face.
I'm just trying to make sure we're trying to get these calls. We're talking consistency. I just want to make sure we're keeping things consistent.
Can you check your fucking examples? That's the worst example.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to say consistency, same kind of slaps, you know. No real impact to the game, but
I'm happy. I'm happy for these bullshit head highs to get knocked without calls. Punishment.
Exactly.
Hey, because it's nothing, bro. It's accidental, and it's got no effects, bro. But then the thing is, bro, you got to be consistent, man. Because what about all these games that has had those crucial penalties?
Yeah, that non-call.
Well, teams missing the eight probably
was probably worse than the missed knock on. Because
do you reckon, Bobby? Good on him, he got fucking dropped or harsh call?
No. Like, he needs to be given some sort of consequence for that performance. And yeah, he's human. I think the biggest stink thing about it is that he's been given all this shit on social media from fans and from people and from, you know, Roosters fans and, you know, that sort of shit. That's uncool. Like, you can hate on it at the game, but like, all the stuff afterwards on social media has been pretty terrible. But yeah, that call that he didn't call with the slap on the face, that was worse than the missed knock on, because it felt like he was trying to like right a wrong, and like, oh, nah,
yeah,
nah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just play on, man, just play on. Now it's evened out. It's like, silly.
I didn't do anything last time, so I'm not going to do anything this time. That's
right
consistent.
Yeah.
It's consistent. It's like, oh, I didn't call a knock on. I'm not going to call that.
Yeah. He turned into such a Schultz by the end of the game.
But you're right, Eitans. If Grant just taking an extra few more acting lessons, he may have gotten that penalty.
Especially if he made it actually look like, because that's the difference. Like, the time's up, but they kick it, they win. So who cares if he goes off for an HIA? So he could have just milked it for a real HIA.
Just stay down. Stay down, don't move.
As soon as they do this, boop. Oh, yep. You go 10. These guys kick it.
Yeah. But, and I agree. If you're going to stay down on a headshot, you should be going HIA. Because that's the thing you kind of...
That's what you risk. Like,
if you're going to act and stay down like you've been hit for real, HIA. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, eh? When they do the sending off, and then the guy who was down all of a sudden was like, no, I'm sweet. Yeah. Man, I need him to stay down for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah,
I'm good.
That's
I'm
what
good.
I hate seeing. So that players don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened when the Warriors played the Knights and Ponga got hit. And then he was supposed to stay down, get the penalty, but the next minute, oh, hey, you got to come up for HIA, and then he stayed off the field for like 11 minutes or whatever, and then the Warriors came back.
Because Montoya earlier in the season with the fob, he did one like that where he was down, whistle, and the man jumped. I was like, oh, can you at least struggle to your feet?
Yeah, the Warriors are fucking, they're known for this kind of play, eh? They got to get the shit out of rugby league.
Easy, mate. Let's head straight to that game, actually. Let's talk about the Warriors.
A few fucking actors in the team.
Talking about actors, the Knights 10 to the Warriors 40, Mount Smart Stadium, Saturday night. Bob, you're alive there, bro. I'll let you dig in first, bro.
Yeah, that was, I think, more for me was the fact that the Warriors seem to be playing now with a real sense of belief. You know, there were reporters all over New Zealand and Australia last year that were writing the whole Warriors team off, saying that Sean Johnson should have retired. And I think a whole bunch of fans were on that sort of similar tone, but the game on the weekend, I can't say it was clinical. Clinical was more the Panthers the week before against the Warriors. They were clinical against the Warriors. The Warriors, it just looked like they were playing and having fun playing. And it showed in how they were carrying themselves on the field. You know, stuff was happening outside of their control, but they were sticking to the game plan. And it was funny listening to Tohu after the Panthers game talking about them not sticking to their processes, doing shit that they haven't done all seasons, those offloads in their own half, all of that crap that contributed to them losing to the Panthers. And then on the weekend against the Knights, you know, everything came together, and it was awesome to see Sean Johnson come out and really control that game and play with that Sean Johnson flair that all the Warriors fans have been sort of wanting him to play for ages and ages. Like, he was 2011 Sean Johnson again, but tempered now with maturity, experience. And the boys have a real belief in them, and it showed. Like, they piled on points in that first 10-minute blitz, and the Knights, you know, so when I come back after watching the game live and watch the highlights, they were talking about how after 10 minutes, the Knights hadn't completed a set, and how there were still forwards, like Frizzell, who hadn't had a hit up in the first 10, 11, 12 minutes, and I'm like, wow, that's unheard of, you know, and at NRL level. Yeah. Man, you need
to even like the second half, just the buzz. You don't realize until you rewatch the game. And like, oh shucks, yeah, these guys aren't even getting to their 50. They're just like struggling kick, struggling kick.
And like that Maju error, that first one that led to the chance try, like it just felt like the Knights kind of knew that they had their back up against it coming to Mount Smart and playing the Warriors, and so they were a bit jittery. And that first error, man, the Warriors pounced on it, made them pay.
Crowd, as soon as you just see that ball come out.
Yeah, fuck. And, man, when I rewatched it, it looked like Maju caught the ball and chucked it on the ground. That's what it looked like. I was thinking, he, like, catched it and then just dropped it. So he didn't want to carry the ball.
I mean, the man jumped it, but he was still in the process. He was still trying to jump us.
Trying to do his extra carry.
Yeah, but that game, it just looked like there was nothing that the Knights were going to do on that night that was going to work. Like, their forwards were nullified. Ponga looked like he tried to win the game from the very first minute, and he was defending up in the line, which I thought was real weird. I was like, oh, man, what's going on? I don't know if that's the Knights' game.
They kept them quiet, eh?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, especially taking that energy away. So when it came to attacking, like, bro.
They were sapped. They had nothing left. And so they were just doing these real, like, ordinary carries back. And the Warriors were punishing on their defense. So, you know, it was such a one-sided game. And that first third and then that last third, like, the Warriors were just too good. Like, the Knights tried to sort of grind their way back into the game after 20 minutes. But by then, man, it was too late. Nothing that they could do. It's going to counter not only what was happening on the field, but, man, what was happening out in the stands and the crowd or the fans. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. That was one of the craziest Warriors atmosphere games that I've been to at Mount Smart. And it was cool, you know, looking around. There were families everywhere. And I'm happy that there were bandwagon fans amongst everyone that have sold out all the merchandise from the stores at Mount Smart. It was like, oh, well. You know, it's cool having them on because it brings the boys home at those home games. And, you know, it shows these bandwagon fans that, come on, just believe in us a little bit. It can't just be the hardcore, keep the faith through all generations, the shitty years that's going to carry this club through. Because we need all those young kids to come back, like that girl who's asked about the Soccer World Cup, and she's like, up the wires. So it's like, yeah, we need more of that.
That was funny. England, England, I'm just going to give England after Waz. Yeah, you're so your take on the Waz, mate, that
atmosphere. Yeah, bro, that was a really cool, entertaining game.
Were you wearing your Warriors jersey for the game, or?
You know, I had my Sorokaele, the one you used for to clean up the mess on that one. I was impressed with, they put on 40 points, but Just in the first quarter, there was a real definite. You noticed they were kicking to Maju's side all the time, so it kind of gave Ponga nothing bringing the ball back. So the only really chances that he had was you know coming into the line attacking, but then the way the forwards were going, they had really little quality ball in the Warriors areas, you know, good attacking ball. So to keep him down to 102 meters, bro, and just as just had no effect in the game, bro, because they shut him out, and there was a real grind that first 5 minutes. Kicking to the corner of Maju, and it was quite I think it was quite poignant because it meant that he's not going to take that first hit up, the next one, you know. Dom Young still awesome, you know. He was the one taking the first hit up, but he's no Maju, and when Maju gets going, he's like another prop. But Bobby,
well, that's what he's been doing in the previous games, just steamrolling people.
Yeah, bro, he's been smashing people. Mm. Bobby mentioned his knock on. I think. The fact that they let the Warriors in the very next fucking set, that meant heaps, bro. And it was like almost, I think they went another two, three sets. It was like almost 10 minutes, bro. They didn't even touch the ball. Because they went bang, 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 like three tries after that. So, man, I know. The Warriors were on fire with the way they were kicking the ball down to that corner. And giving Newcastle nothing. But as soon as they scored their try, I think that the crowd just got behind them, bro. And the Knights were just giving nothing, eh, bro? The Knights just struggled. They had one prop, one forward, make over 100 metres, Safedi. But you look at the Warriors game, man, and Nicol Klockstar, man, I got to give him props. That's one of the best games I've seen him. And he's been solid all year, bro. And I almost remember we had that conversation one episode also about this guy's got to give way to fucking Roger when he comes back next year. But they even mentioned it. He even mentioned it during the year that the coach has promised him, nah, that's your jersey to give up. And he's paid him back. And yeah, you look at this player, bro. He fucking rookie gave him shit the last couple of years for this guy, Savage. Put him on the bench. It was quite sad when... he finished off his time at the Raiders in New South Wales.
Tough game. Yeah,
he comes over. Yeah, bro. So he didn't really get a good send-off. But he comes over this year. And, bro, this game, 260 metres. Fuck, I love that first try. I think it was the first one.
Yeah.
Where
he just ghosted around best.
Bro. But it was just second the best. Timing. Just the timing, bro. It was kind of reminded me of Cullen, like, you can't beat passing timing, man. And fucking Best was like stuck in the sand, bro. And he just ran around him. Damn, so that's
kind of just that dangerous. Half second. That's what it was, eh? Just
yeah, like, bro. Exactly. Just he got the ball at top pace, but see that there. If you got him on the edges, really dangerous. But just his work that he does on defense, the tough carries out of his own
tough
star is the fucking. He does a lot of work, bro, and because you don't want Watene and Montoya doing too much, bro, because you know they're bots it every now and then with fucking.
Yeah, Montoya's got that in his game, bro.
I'm telling you, awesome finishes, but coming out of doing the hard graft, you're like gotta fucking cross your fingers when they fucking hit the ball up. But I think he leads the back three really well. I think Johnson's fucking at the peak of his powers right now. The only way you got to nullify Johnson is to keep him away from the attacking zones. But it's a fucking hard thing to do because the forwards are just rolling their sleeves up. And you look at the stats.
Johnson's kick game as well. Just placement all day. Like, just bro, giving it time and space, bro. He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm over there again.
And just Harris. Tohu Harris. Bro, this is probably one of the best games I've seen him play. Almost kind of, and I think Stace mentioned it in our group chat, like, I'd have to agree, like, right now, probably the best 13 on form. Just his overall game, bro. Just got a guy with, like, a second row with the mind of a general, but the skills of a fucking ball player, like, he just, so they got, like, between him and Johnson, kind of, that's, that's their options on attack. Johnson can play one off the rack and go both ways. But then when they decide to go even further and put Tohu Harris at first receiver, they even look even more dangerous.
Especially when he can just go to the line if he wants to.
Yeah.
Just do a set. Like, and he'll still do a little... Like, it's not even just a boring, like, I'm just going to rest this time. He's still doing, like, after contact meters and, like, solid.
So it's a high... It's a high fucking quality attack, man. It's hard to defend.
Tohu does a lot of that ball playing when he's 13. When the Warriors do their prop rotation and Adden comes off, Tohu moves up. And you should see his work rate, man. Like, he stops like being the ball player because you've got Jazz or there's a Dylan Walker that comes in the lock.
And
they take up that role as the ball playing. But Tohu,
that's right,
he goes up. Dylan Walker up the back. Like, you don't lose anything when Adden comes off because Tohu is...
He makes meters, man.
Post contact, but also effort areas. Like, if you see, there was one set straight after kickoff in like the second minute of the second half, and Tohu put on three tackles in a row. There was like effort, and he smashed these three. And I was thinking, wow, that was Tohu's three in a row. And then he got up, and like they had made 10 meters in that, those three hit ups.
But
he steps up into that prop role and takes on all the physical stuff when he has to.
And I think they look even more dangerous when they have Walker and Tevanga on the field together because these guys are like small. But fucking speedy forwards, bro, who, like, they come on in the last 20 minutes. They can be real dangerous with their, just their speed around the rock. They can ball play. And like you said, Bobby, they've got two Harris who can play a prop, actual prop role.
And then these guys can.
So they did well against Newcastle, bro, but...
Tevanga brings a bit of that Tyson Gamble, kind of nullify any of that little... So there was none of that little, I don't know if the last week's antics kind of quieted him down, because, man, I didn't even know that guy was on the field till the replay.
Yeah. their top players definitely stood up. You know, those three I mentioned, man, Johnson, Nukul Coxstar, and Harris, bro. I just think that against the Knights, they had to really nullify one player, keep him quiet. Against the Broncos, there's more than one that can fucking hurt you. There's more than one. And when I look at this lineup, I think in the centers, bro, that we might have an edge in the centers. I think both packs are fucking awesome, bro. They can almost kind of even each other out, bro. But look at Pompey.
Pompey and Rocco Berry.
Played awesome, bro.
Those were the two areas I was worried about for the Warriors last week. I was saying, you know, in the centers, you're up against the form center and Dan Gagai, who is an ultimate competitor.
That's right.
And then these two fucking play out of their skins.
Like, they won that battle.
Winning the battle, all right, man. Both of these two.
I thought Brandon was going to run all over Pompey.
Especially the week before when you were having a look about Pompey. I was thinking, yeah, bro, like, what's up with this guy? Like, everyone's coming out of the line and Pompey's jogging. Like, come on, bro. And then last week, he must
bro,
be
that,
I was having a rest with everyone else last week.
Yeah.
I was resting with everyone else for the Panthers game. I was thinking, how come I didn't get rest? I'll just rest during the game then.
Well, Ponga Best, that whole left side has been killing it with Maju. Exactly.
Yeah, that's where I thought.
So that's fucking awesome that to keep them side,
bro. You're going to play that move? Oh, bro.
SR best. SR Katani, my hobby, mate.
Similar.
We'll come to that.
Big Kukusa level.
No, bro. No way.
You're jumping ahead. All right.
SR levels.
Jumping at the bit, mate. Is that everything? We're wrapping this game? Anything else?
Oh, bro.
Dan Kanay.
So, when I look at your pack, man, I don't want to blow you guys up too much, but some of these hardworking Balangs, bro, like fucking Ford.
Well, Barnett's been a big man.
I mentioned a couple of episodes ago how I was a bit bummed for my also Bunty, who I still got to say it was harsh to miss out. But probably looking at it, this is probably the best 17 they put up there with Curran on the bench, Surinan on the bench, the Tevanga squad are very, what do I say, kind of like a fast, mobile bench, you know? So, and Barnett, bro, but Barnett's like, just tough, eh, bro? It's like Campion, bro. Kevin Campion back in the days, remember? You got to have some of these fucking real tough Oscar Lea, no shit fucking forwards.
Just did to you mix give it up Roger shit there. For calling this guy Kevin Campion and now you want to steal Roger's line?
Who, Barney? Is that what Rob said, Barney?
Yeah, he compared him to Kevin Campion and you laughed at him. He didn't know Roger could see ahead, man. He could see the player he was going to be.
I think that's the those are the similarities between the 2002 Grand Final team, the 2011, and this year's team, if they were to go on, is that they've got these Balangis. Like, I think 2011, they had Michael Luck in there, who was like a tackling machine, and yeah, they had Manning at the same time. And those two combined, you know, they had an all right, I think Packer was kicking ass. Lilyman was, that was when Lilyman was really good because he was making
That combination.
Yeah, and they had really good balance in the forwards. Similarly to
and you know what? You know, old Wade Egan had a quiet game too, bro. And he's capable of having some good, you know, snippets, good runs. But he just, all he had to do was just pass the ball, man.
So, I like what, that's what the boys have done too. Like, you know, like as much as people talk up, Johnson, like there's enough of the boys. Like when he's on the field, it's a presence, but everyone's got their roles. Like, you know, Fanua Blake was massive, but he didn't have to do much this game. You know, everyone just plays their role.
Mm.
So I reckon they're not, you know, like they're just doing enough, understanding, you know, when they come in and out of the game. Oh, so they're still in third gear, man.
Oh,
get ready, man. Getting ready.
Hey.
We haven't pumped the clutch yet, man. We're still just. We haven't changed gear yet, so it looks good because it's in third. It's at the top of revs, revving out on third. And we're coming, mate. We're coming.
It's the Broncos fans that wanted the Knights to win because they didn't want to face us.
Exactly. This guy was.
Well, I think the Knights would have hurt us a lot more than the Warriors can, but nah, that's a different story.
I think the atmosphere of that game was probably the biggest thing, bro. Even Dan Ganane, one of the biggest commentators for the NRL, said this. He's never heard a crowd like that Mount Smart game. So they were over there commentating the game, and he was shocked. He's like, bro, this crowd's inspirational. So for someone who's like, you know, been to that many NRL games and to be shocked.
Like, it's shocking because I used to sing songs when Brisbane won the games as well. And this was before full time. And there was hardly anyone around. People were already walking to their Carvalhos. So, so you know, let's be real. These motherfuckers show up when you are winning.
At least you came to the games with me.
Okay? I just want to say, it's easy. Easy to comply your side when you are winning. Okay? But how many motherfuckers are going to stay to the end of the game and sing songs when you lose? Not many.
There was heaps there ready to fuss you, bro. There's heaps of fans there still ready
to fuss you. I was singing my own song back in fucking the early 2000s there, bro.
Yeah, there was enough of us there to beat you up, bro. All right. Man, before we get to the Bronx Warriors games, everyone seems to look ahead to next week. Everyone seems to be writing this off as a foregone conclusion, man. We kind of touched on where the Storm's at and the Panthers. Bob, you called it, man. Clinical the week before against the Warriors. Your thoughts on this game? We'll go to you first, Si.
Bro, that even though Warriors were missing Johnson, I think the Warriors were kind of holding back a little bit. Not consciously, but I think they were targeting last week's game. But just to see the Panthers just roll out with the, and then I thought they played a little bit extra than what we're used to seeing. Like I think I mentioned that last week that McCleary took it upon himself to just open up a little bit more, especially on attack. Do things, you know, he was doing late offloads, playing a bit more off the cuff, which I thought probably that was probably the one. I don't know if it's the one knock, but just the one thing that I thought maybe the Panthers, maybe they've only got like two or three tries in them because they are real kind of like a get to where they're, you know, they're real like a set piece kind of team. But I'm saying that, bro, that when they want to, and they've got Luai coming. So I think they got the best of both worlds, bro, which is so scary. So they can hurt you on their set plays. Once they get their props, making their meters, and then the forwards take care of the defensive line, it's hard to not pick them, bro. And, you know, we're both, all three of us, celebrating the success of our teams at the moment, bro. But I got to say, man, it's scary to think that. But I still think Panthers, on the evidence of this year, they've probably played enough games at that elite level, whereas Broncos and Warriors have, in patches, have played at that level. And just the experience that they've shown, man, the last few years, they've made three finals in a row. So they're going to be hard to beat, bro, and they're where they're at. So I think it's going to take a couple of, it's going to take fucking, an incredible performance to beat them. Both the Warriors and the Broncos got it in them. I don't know if the Storm's got enough in them to beat them, bro. And that's why I'll come back to. It's scary to think, bro, how good they can be with the newfound Cleary this year, where I think Cleary's kind of opening it up a little bit more, man. Not just fucking not just playing the same old
play out the back.
But pulling more stuff out of his bag of tricks, bro, which he's got a lot of, bro. So, bro, I've never slept on the Panthers. They've been fucking mean all year. They're gonna be mean. I think they're gonna. I'll be surprised if it's a close one, man. I just can't see Storm scoring enough points to beat them.
Yeah, do you think that's gonna be won or lost, Bob? That Jerome Luai call being in, you reckon that's a bit premature? I guess both of them, Hughes and the Luai call.
I think the Luai call's that's probably premature, but you know, Luai with Cleary, that combination, you know, they keep showing all those pictures of those boys when they were like in the under 12s or whatever it is, and that combo is been there for ages, and that's the reason why they play really well, because they've played really well like that together for years, not just at NRL level, but coming up through the grades. So that combo is going to be hard to try and play against. I don't know if the Panthers need to bring Luai back because it was the guy that replaced him against the Warriors.
Koga.
That guy, yeah, he carved the Warriors up, and he didn't miss a beat. Like, he was playing.
Yeah, he's been filling in for Cleary all those other weeks as well. So yeah,
and so he didn't play like, oh yeah, I'm a newbie. There's all this pressure on me. He came in. He pretty much just executed whatever Ivan Cleary's plan was for the Panthers that day against the Warriors. I think they need him.
I think it's like Batman and Robin, bro. They need the fucking. I don't know. Without him, the other team's got a chance, man. With him, it's like they still got a chance, but it's tough, that's even tougher.
It's a little chance.
That's so true. Like, yeah, once he's in.
Same with Hughes. Like,
good to see Ollum back in the team.
He's named D.
Yeah, he's named in there.
Ollum. It is good to see Ollum back because that guy was in the NRL Team of the Year last year, wasn't he? As the centre.
Exactly, yeah. And I think he had one bad game and got dropped
from favour.
Yeah.
It's been like a massive slide. Ollum come back. Like, I remember reading an article where he was talking about he was getting ready to go back to Papua New Guinea for the end of the year and you know, watch the finals from home, but then he gets roped back in, so he's got to switch back on again. And I reckon.
Well, I don't know what he does to Bellamy, but yeah, like Zivi, they put on Zivi. He's alright, but he's no Olin, bro. He scares out of it.
Yeah, right.
He makes hits.
Yeah,
I think he's probably
just like game changing too. Like, you know, he'll do that hit right at the right time, change a game or just a random break.
Yeah,
so that's a good info for the Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be a real hard one for these guys. Especially in that Ford battle, again, like what we mentioned against the Roosters, like that rotation of Mosse and Fisher-Harris, like as much as they've been going all right, Welch and Kamikamika, you know, these guys just don't bring the same thing. Harry Grant starting? Yeah, I mean, you just need that go forward. And yeah, unless they can stop that back three, I can't see this going much further than where everyone thinks it will go. Yeah, more hope than kind of any game plan that I can see in the Storm. I don't know. Is there a player or a game plan that plays out for the Storm to win this one?
Yeah, Nelson.
I think for me,
Nelson
maybe
smashing.
Yes, chop, Bobby.
Outside of him,
yeah. He's got to play out of his skin, and he's got to bring the other forwards up, bro. But fucking saying that, man, look at this Panthers pack, bro. It's fucking tough. It's a tough pack, bro. It's almost like, no disrespect to Kamikamida and all of these, but they, on paper, man, it looks like a Q-cup pack outside of Nelson, bro. Honestly, man. And Harry Grant. This is your problem when you fucking give all your kupe to all your superstars, man.
Yeah.
But
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
But Nelson's got to be a bit more involved.
And that's where the game's going to be won, I feel, for the Storm. For the Panthers, is their forward pack's probably going to... If Storm don't take the game by the scruff of the neck right from kickoff and get some sort of ascendancy over the Panthers pack, they're just going to roll right down the field and all over the Storm. Like, that's been their game plan since day dot. And, you know, if they don't stop those Panthers forwards, like, you try and target one of them and then another one will step up, and then you try and shut this one down, and then Liam Martin and Fisher-Harris, like, Leota, like, those guys have been playing awesome all year. And, you know, Fisher-Harris was a prop of the year last year. So it's like, man, these guys, they got a good forward pack.
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone coins that phrase, but out of all the four teams, Storm are probably the only one with nothing to lose. Like, literally, like, the Bronx and the Warriors have everything. Like, you know, they've built it up so much in their clubs. You know, we've kind of backed them so much now, and the fans are fully supportive, and kind of where we've, both of our teams have been. You know, we've got everything to win and a lot to lose too. So there's no real kind of nothing to lose. Where you look at the Storm, they're like, we've been here, done that. Like, and so, yeah, I guess there's, you know, it's just kind of like a...
What are you saying? Real, so you're saying
it's hard for them to get up.
Of upset or...
Well, it's just a lot harder for them. Like, you look at the other teams, you know, the Panthers have got three in a row to play for. You know, the Warriors, you know, finally getting back into the grand finals. The Broncos off to the last couple of, you know, probably
the last
four.
Are you calling it?
I just think that that the fact that these guys have literally got nothing to lose, like, out of everyone, they're probably the dark horse. These are the guys that everyone's written off, and like we said, they're
the Storm
here.
Won,
how the
man,
heck are they here?
That's Yesul is coming back. Like, that's the fucking upset of the fucking century right there, man.
Well, I mean, Bellamy, like, that's the thing. The team haven't clicked all year, and it doesn't look like Bellamy knows how to coach them, because, you know, he's shocked. Like, he just, at those press conferences, he, like, I don't know what that was. So it's real strange. Like, if he can get them up, though, like, that's all that he can do, is kind of tell them, like, this is on you guys. Like, you guys, like, that's what the Storm does, is pretty much turn a bunch of nobodies into somebodies. That's what they've been doing for, you know, all these years in the last few decades. So if there's any team that can get up with everything against them, it's probably these guys. So up the Storm.
I think the Storm need to pull out, and they've got a player in Cameron Munster who can pull out
those, a rabbit.
Needs to pull one of those Walbrick plays consistently against the Panthers this week.
10 times.
Yeah, like that one trick shot against the Roosters, he's going to need 10 of those to beat the Panthers this weekend. So it's going to be a tough ask over the Panthers.
10 out of 10 of those trick shots as well.
But you know what the Panthers do really well? They fucking protect Toto really well in the air, eh? For someone that's just the shortest winger in the fucking comp, you don't really see Toto get jumped over too much over that side. I don't know if teams don't utilize that as much, or whether he's just getting good protection, or the refs are missing these fucking...
I think he's got hops, though. Like, he seems to get up there with the best of them. Like, as much as you don't think so, they try to target him. And
Warbrick should be jumping all over. If I was them,
that's the only
opportunity where they got to score.
As a game plan, they just need to execute. Because, yeah, I think they're all right all day. They can get him flying through the air against Tuttle.
Teams this year have been kicking to the opposite side because they know Tuttle's potential returning the ball.
Yeah.
But Taruva has
been just as good.
That guy catches the ball 10 out of 10 times. I haven't fucking seen Taruva drop this year. So, you know, if the game plan is to not kick to Tuttle because you're worried about him returning the ball with interest, then, yeah, that gameplay is not going to work if they consistently just kick to Taruva.
If you just switch it to Taruva because it's the same thing.
Yeah, because, like, Taruva, and he returns just as good as Brian Tuttle.
Yeah.
So that's tough because they've got two short wingers, and you'd think that the strategy would be to be an aerial battle with those guys. But
well, look at Meany catching everything last week. You'd think you'd get Meany into the game. Him and Walbrick going up, man. Why not? You might have figured out Bellamy's plan there, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to take a lot of out-of-the-box plays to beat the Panthers. Like, it can't just be a standard, you know, normal type sort of play. The Panthers will defend those types of plays all day, and they've been doing it all season. It needs to be something that is eyes up footy, that's going to catch them off guard. You've got to look for mismatches on defence. All of that sort of stuff needs to play in. The Storm have got Cameron Munster who does that really, really well. So, you know, I'm expecting him to pull some eat-ass one-on-one strips. Like, he's going to try to attempt those ones, I reckon, because he's been known to do that in the past. I haven't seen him do it much this year, but...
He
might just pull one of those out.
They protect them more knowing that he's there.
And yeah,
I mean, it's so strange just listening to your breakdown just sounds like the Storm we used to talk about. You know, you've got to be clinical, you've got to be perfect against them, you know, don't give them any opportunities, they strangle you. It just sounds like we're talking of the Storm of the past, and you know, you can't play into the structures. You've got to play out of the box. Is exactly how you used to break down the Storm. So how does because of the way the Storm have been coached and the way they work, it'll be interesting that, you know, they know their own systems and what it takes to win. And so I wonder if it's knowing that helps you understand how to play against yourself. Yeah, literally that's what they'll be doing just based on that breakdown. Very much sounds Storm-like. Man, that'll be a good one. Nice curtain raiser heading into the main event on Saturday night over at Suncorp. You got your tickets all sorted?
I tried, man. Someone has to hit up Kivi.
Fake fan.
I'm gonna have to hit up Kivi if he can allow me in the coach's box just to do some analysis for him.
It's all right, but, man. I'm sure there's a bar for all the commoners. There's a bar down there on Caxton for all the commoners, mate.
I'm at an age where, you know, like, the big crowds kind of piss me off sometimes, so I enjoy watching it at home. Hey,
you're at an age where you can afford those $120 tickets. Why are you trying to do cheapest tickets, mate? That's why you missed out. Stop refreshing on cheapest tickets. You're at an age where you can afford proper tickets, man.
I had to think to myself, oh, just Sefer Kupelea, and I'll just save it for fucking grand final. Sydney! We're in the Broncos.
I'll bring you a jersey, bro. I'll bring you a jersey if you're going to
Broncos. make it through. Yeah, bro. I'm excited. Both teams are quite young, and this Warriors team. Sean Johnson's the only one with preliminary final experience. You got to go back to 2011. The last time the Warriors made it, he was in that team.
Are you talking about Warriors or the players? Are you forgetting Tohu, mate?
Warriors, players. For the Warriors. Sorry, Tohu Harris has Storm experience. It's almost like the actual teams. There are a lot relies on the shoulders of these halves, bro, who have been fucking awesome. Both halves have been awesome. I think Johnson, he's kind of really up there with the on the leaderboard of the, they reckon, for the Dally M. But maybe Reynolds with his time out. I think what's stopped Reynolds from getting these points is that there's a lot of Broncos players been playing really well during the year. But for me, I think Reynolds is the most important player in this team for the Broncos, man. It's going to be a good game, bro. It's hard to pick, man. I think I'll give Broncos the edge because they've been playing these kind of high-pressure games all year. Like being the one team, as the Warriors are as well. But they've been playing under this pressure of expectation all year. And everyone's been waiting for them to fail. And I think they've been playing from big crowds. The more wins they've gotten under their belts. Whereas the Warriors kind of they've been able to just kind of creep under the under the radar and just play with them themselves. And
not at all, mate.
And I think it's only just been in the last 6 weeks where they've really had to change gears and to play at the top level. I just think that the Warriors have been playing a bit more freely with less pressure. But in saying that, man, that's what makes them dangerous because the Broncos are favourites. Broncos are home in front of 50,000 people.
It's going to be a crowd.
Yeah, and the fucking Broncos, Warriors have got the just the recent history on their side, bro, with the when it comes to their record. I think
Your stats in your article, bro.
Out of the last 11 that I picked up.
Eight of 11, mate. That's
So I don't know if that's going to be played too much because both teams are riding high. Walsh, what do you guys think about Walsh, man? Do you think he's got some secrets up his sleeve about how you guys are going to play and how you guys are going to attack? Will that make much difference to the Broncos?
No, I think with Walsh, I think similar game plan to what we did to KP. Just shutting it through defense. So I think we've seen all his tricks, like his speed. That's what we've got to nullify. Like, we can't match him for speed. So I think it's just the way we defend in the middle and then kind of nullify, get up a bit earlier. And your thoughts on Bobby, on Reece Walsh?
I think it's just being able to read where Reece Walsh is going to inject himself into a game. Like, he's really good at just popping up at the end of a Broncos move. And because he's been playing so well all year, like, he'll catch the ball and he's doing what old rugby coaches used to say, where you hold the ball in two hands and you don't know whether he's going to pass or run. And because Reece Walsh has been playing so well, like, that's a threat. And you've got the defense coming up in two minds, not knowing whether to tackle him, because if you rush up on him, then he's putting Cobbo away. Or if you don't rush up on him, then he's dummying and he's through a gap. So it's like, yeah. So he's going to be really difficult to stop. I know he plays similarly to Kalen Ponga, but I just think he has a bit more speed, I reckon, like, tricks off the mark. And it's really deceptive. Like, he, in that 10 metres, like, if you don't catch him then, like, it's going to be difficult because he's either through the gap and he'll take it himself, or he'll put one of the Broncos speedsters away. And that's, like, his
assist. I think where he's going to make his imprint is on the edges, bro. And I think that's one place where Broncos can exploit the inexperience of Pompey and Rockaberry. Because he's been doing it all year, man. He's been running, he's been like fronting up on second rolls and then going out, either, you know, bringing up wingers, hitting his outside man, or just full on taking these centers on the outside. So it's going to be a test for the centers. I think that's even Broncos centers, 101. Katoni would like to have fucking run 101. Herbie would like to have one 101 with these guys. These guys are experienced, so. Inexperienced. So, like last week, Barry, we just went on about Barry and Pompey had awesome games, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the centre combination for Newcastle compared to Broncos, it's our level, man. These guys can beat you 1-on-1, and then you got, you know. So if Pompey's looking at fucking Katoni, and then he can see fucking Reece Walsh coming around the back. Oh, good luck, Oos. Good luck.
I think the what will be interesting to see is Reece Walsh play both sides of the coin. So we've seen him at his attacking best, and he's real busy, and he's like a superstar. And then you watch him in that Storm game, and a lot of the credit for keeping the Storm at nil is off the back of the work that he does off the ball. And Billy Slater kind of talks to that. And so, you know, you guys are keeping them at nil, but against the Storm side, who hasn't really, you know, they showed no real attacking prowess. So I guess, you know, if he's spending a lot of time doing that defense organizing against the Warriors attacking team, you know, where does he find that energy kind of come with the offensive? Oh, so I think that's where it's going to be kind of balancing out, like how he kind of injects himself if he's doing a lot of that defensive work.
So if he's yelling out and calling out plays, he's going to be too tired, is that what you're saying?
Oh, well, yeah, he's got to cover the field and try and cover the gaps where Katoni's fucking not listening, doing his own shit. Like, Katoni, why are you rushing up, man? No one told you to try and rush up out of the line. So he'll have to go cover that bullshit, and then Herbie's going to be off. So, you know, that's a lot of work to D.
That's a good, and then kind of come back on with that's a really good point you make. I think Johnson's going to have that in his mind because Broncos don't hide their defensive tactics. They're fucking outside in, bro. And the second rows come up really fucking fast, and Katoni come up really fast, and they just rely on each other to cover the back. So, you know, we might see a lot of cutout balls from Johnson, man. We'll see some kicks in behind, but Broncos like to apply pressure. They come up really fast on defense, so it's going to test Johnson, bro. It's just going to test him, but I think he's got that. Well, we know he's got the artillery with this. Short kicks and his big plays out hitting the wingers on the, when these guys come up forward. But I don't know, bro. It's, when you're under pressure like that, because it's going to be fucking state of origin level game. And I think the question mark's more on the Warriors than it is on the Queensland and it is for the Broncos, because Broncos just got enough players in the right positions, experienced players who have experience in that level of footy, because when it comes to prelim final, that is state of origin kind of level intensity, where you might not touch the ball for a couple of sets. Can you defend your line without touching the ball? Can you make an error coming out of your half? Can you even defend that? And I don't think I've seen Warriors play too much of this arm wrestle style, whereas Broncos have shown.
And you've been closing your eyes all season. Same old thing, man.
Hey,
what? You mean you haven't been in the arm wrestle? The whole beginning of our season was built on resilience. Teams, man. Down three tries and we just hold in the game, come up over the top. And you mean sleeping under a rock all year.
Yeah, like the Warriors, if they're going to win this, they need to grind it out. Like, it really needs to be, and they need to grind it out against the players on the field and then against the Suncorp crowd. Because if the Broncos faithful are going to come out in force, like the Warriors did over the weekend against the Knights, you know, then that's going to be a test on the Warriors. That can be a double-sided, double-edged blade too, because like if your team starts to like make errors and then they start to pile up, the expectations of the crowd then starts to turn, and you know that's where the Warriors need to try and hope that there's enough expats that turn up to ride on those Broncos eras.
Oh, bro. You'll be hearing a Warriors chant go up, bro. It'll be like,
there'll be plenty.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty.
Because, yeah, like that.
I think the Ford. Ford matchup's going to be real interesting.
Yeah. Now, carry on, Tiff.
No, I was just saying, like, just the form that everyone's at as well. And kind of like, just the names, you know, the roster both teams have, you know, a few key people personnel. But, yeah, we haven't got the big names, you know, no flashy lights there. You got Payne Haas is probably the superstar out of the packs. But, man,
I think they match up Blake's quite even, man. I think they match up quite even.
Is probably Wade Egan.
Yeah. Well, he definitely got an edge there at dummy half. But I think forwards will give enough ball for the backs. Like I said, I think the only real edge for the Bronx is just on those edges, man. I think definitely in the centres, Reece Walsh. And that's our edge, is having Reece Walsh there, bro, is keeping these guys on the edges, on their toes. But I think forwards kind of maybe nullify each other out. Both kicking games from the sevens are fucking top quality, man. So, like Bob said, it'll come down to the arm wrestle, man, and we'll see who's Lincoln Hawk, and we'll see who's Paul Hurley.
Don't go to sleep
on a big. Or are you guys going to be the black guy with the big singing?
You know, Chance is also a grand final playing fullback. Like, he played for the Raiders, yes, and they lost.
Who had an awesome fucking grand final before he went off for cramps that year too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he's got grand final experience and he's been there as well. So, you know, it's hard to call because the Broncos have been playing so well. You know, as a Warriors supporter, you want your team to get up, but it's not going to be just get over there and continue the fairy tale. Like, you've got to – it's going to be get over there, exactly. Grind it out. You've got to be able to absorb all of that early pressure that the Broncos are going to be putting the Warriors under, because that's how they've started games, like, fast. They've started them fast all year and blowing teams off the park before they've given them the ability to try and come back, and by then it's too late. So, you know, they need to match the Broncos starting, and they need to match that intensity. And it needs to be like an origin-type intensity to start with, because this – you know, you got to. This is knockout footy, man. It's all of that stuff, like form.
Yeah, you're gonna get the classic Gus Gould might come out again, and the winners go to the grand final, and the losers fly home.
So they need to have absolute belief that they can go over to Suncorp and do a number on the Broncos. And I think, you know, I'm confident that the Warriors have it in them to go over and win against the Broncos. I'm kind of hoping that the Broncos are just so awesome that they get in each other's way.
I'm the star of this team. Exactly. Now I'm the star of this
pass
team.
Pass me the ball.
Now watch me finish this try.
Tony Stacks is Achilles' heel. Like, that guy will be White Line Fever, man.
There's Reece Walsh open and Katoni go back inside.
We got team players here, mate. We got team players, mate. One team, one dream.
We'll see, mate. We'll see.
Adam Reynolds is the glue for that team. Like, without his vision, without his game management, without his ability to see what's happening across the whole field, the Broncos will be still a good team, but not a super awesomely organized one. Similarly, Sean Johnson, you know, that guy
is Johnson, man.
The Warriors, and you saw against the Panthers, without Johnson, everyone was trying to be a Johnson instead of just, so they play your own game within the Warriors structure, but that game plan didn't work. Yeah. Everyone was trying to, Tamati Martin was trying to step up and do Sean Johnson-like things. And I was like, Sully, no. You just do Tamati Martin things to the best of your ability, and that's all we want from you. That has to be the game plan this week. It's like, everyone just needs to know their role play that 100%. I was reading this afternoon about Payne Haas talking about he was relishing the battle going up against Adden, and he was going to, I'm going to really take it to him, and he's been the form prop of the year, and I'm going to make sure that. And I was like, man, because he hardly gives interviews, but He gave this one interview where he was talking about that he was going to target Conor Blake.
What's he down at the clubhouse, bro?
Well, you know what? Like, because, you know, he's Mushiramo. So he hardly talks like that, too. I saw the same one. I was like, shit, man.
These are the cracks.
You're writing your checks. You better cash them, boy.
These are the cracks, bro. Funua Blake's going to be like, stepping past these guys.
No, we're a team. We're focusing on the whole forward pack. I'm not in this one-on-one battles. I'm just doing my job.
I'm going to call up, guys. He's going to pretend to run straight up Painhouse, step, and then you see him doing this again. Where are you?
It's like, whoa, Painhouse. Then they even mention it. Oh, he hardly ever gives interviews. And I was like, why is he talking now? Oh, scared.
This is the next level. This is what you got to do. Take the next level, bro. He knows. One big hit, and you take out the fucking the man of the pack, and then who's next? So I see where pain's coming from, bro.
Nah, but a big game for both teams, man. It's this will be an awesome one. Both teams deserve to be here. Probably, I wish we were playing like maybe a grand final, but. I'm happy either way to be playing in this playoff against you guys. Oof, you want me to send you a jersey if you guys don't go to play on the Saturday?
Keep your jersey, man. You're
close enough for... it's not bandwagon. It's just like support the Uso.
No thanks, mate. No thanks.
All right. Any last words, boys?
Up the bras.
thanks for jumping on, boys. Awesome episode. Keep an ear out. Thank you for tuning in. And like I promised, welcome to the Mount Smart Joker, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us, brother. Catch you guys on the next episode. The grand final preview coming up next week. Talk to you guys then.
Shout out to
Up the was.
Nice. Shot, probably.